This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I am headed to New York City tomorrow, broadcasting live from L.A. You can catch me on First Things First early tomorrow morning on Fox Sports 1. Then we'll be broadcasting from the city. Then I'll be headed out on a train to the Hamptons with Muffy and Buffy and Biff. Shelby's.
Hello.
Yes.
We'll be in the Hamptons. We'll go out to Montauk.
And we'll be headed to the U.S. Open, Shinnecock Hills, where last time the greens were so fast.
How fast were they?
They were so fast, they actually had to put water on the greens during the rounds. In the things you've never seen before, and hopefully we will never see again. Oops. Right? Water on the greens. I think they did. Didn't they do it in Wisconsin at Kohler? I thought that was, those greens were brown and rolling super fast as well. And Dan Beyer not here today, which is my like only golf, not parachute, safety net, if you will. But last time it was at Shinnecock, those things were rolling. And it was like to the point where like, all right, this is ridiculous. So we'll see if they get it right. And maybe more importantly, we'll see if Tiger gets it right. Because the only thing missing in his game, the last time we saw him a week and a half ago, was suddenly he couldn't putt. And if you want the story of Tiger Woods from how a golfer would tell you he's the best iron player the game has ever seen. And 6 foot and in, he's one of the all-time great pressure putters the game has ever seen. What's different the last time we saw Tiger, again, a week and a half ago, was he was hitting all the clubs in his bag well, except for the shortest one. So we'll see how that goes. Stop me if you've heard this before, but Alexander Ovechkin is drunk. More on that to come. Right, like that guy is on. I won a championship in Russia in basketball. I'll never forget this. In 2001, we won the Russian championship, Champions Virusi. And we were the first team that wasn't CSKA. CSKA's CSKA, sponsored by the Red Army, since Perestroika. That's early 90s. So it's 2001. You're talking nearly 20 years. To win the Russian championship, the national championship for professional teams in Russia. And I'll never forget, we landed in Perm, Russia, and there were kazoos and fireworks, and there was like massive bottles of vodka where dudes were just putting their mouths underneath and taking drinks of it. I mean, just obscene. We drove all around the city beeping horns. They were shooting off fireworks. They dropped me back off at my apartment, and they say, Gottlieb, we party for a month in Russia. And I was like, I just want my bonus and to go home. I stayed about 3-4 extra days, did the parade, and went deuces and got out of there. So Ovechkin just doing what his countrymen would do, more on his level of intoxication to come. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. To the victors go the spoils. We got coinciding championship parades, one in D.C., our nation's capital, and one currently taking place in Oakland, where the Golden State Warriors are once again celebrating a championship, their third in the last 4 years. There's been some funny back and forth. There are a couple of Warriors that are going J.R. Smith without a shirt. Both beautiful, sunny days, both great celebrations, both remarkable stories. Most interesting, I think, today is not, it's not yet LeBron Day, right? Like, we got a week and a half, 2 weeks before LeBron makes his decision. So now we dig in on the NBA MVP. And Kevin Durant, there's an article by Lee Jenkins, who's as good as anybody in the industry. Remember, when LeBron left Miami for Cleveland, Lee Jenkins authored the article, co-wrote the article with LeBron. He's done so many fantastic pieces in the league. that players feel comfortable with him just hanging out with them. So the day after the championship, he did just that with Kevin Durant. He hung out with the two-time NBA Finals MVP. And I wasn't necessarily floored. I was just kind of nodding my head at something I learned. That Kevin Durant, whether he's a normal person or not, whether you like him or don't, whether you get him or you don't get him, what you should know is Kevin Durant is who he purports himself to be. And it's interesting because there are players who have a better image, right? Russell Wilson, if you just look at the print, he's got a better image. But when you hear Russell Wilson talk, whether it's the miracle water or whether it's his sale about how much he likes players in the defensive side who have been quoted as saying they don't dig him nearly as much, there's something that kind of misses, right? There's something that Derek Jeter's another guy. There's nothing negative to report during Derek Jeter's career about Derek Jeter, but there's just something to the fact that he never really let us in. We never really knew what his emotions were, what he was like. Matter of fact, the most I've learned about Derek Jeter, I learned my son, he has a series of books for little boys. My son's 9, he's reading them. They're fantastic. They're about kind of his ups and his downs. And don't get me wrong, even that is painted in this politically correct kind of message. A contract he wrote with his parents and about it paints him out to be, though he has some adventures, like the greatest kid ever. Like Derek Jeter has, all he's ever tried to do is concoct this perfectly sterling image that we never get a chance to see. Kevin Durant says, I feel like a lot of basketball players, celebrities, put on this front that they're bigger and stronger and different, that they're superheroes. They're not seen as somebody with weaknesses or insecurities. I'm not a celebrity hooper. I don't care about money and fame. I don't need everything to revolve around me. I just like to play basketball. I like to talk basketball. I like to debate about basketball. Huh. He also says this. He starts talking about pickup basketball, which I love. It's how we start, isn't it? Pickup is the heartbeat of basketball, the spirit of basketball. As you get further and further away from it, AAU, high school, college, NBA, you start stacking layers and layers of nonsense onto something simple. You get money involved. Here I am living in a penthouse in San Francisco, but if you can take it all the way back down to street ball, then nothing will really bother you. Just tie up your shoes and play. Huh. This is a wild, crazy lifestyle, and I'm not saying I got it figured out, but I do know how it can affect me if I let it. So I do my best not to control it. I can do my best to control it. Excuse me. He goes on and says, during the season, I wasn't good every day. I wasn't on every day. I felt like we were dragging. I felt like I was down too. I internalized a little too much. It was a bit. I wanted a bit more meaningful basketball. Steve Kerr said, you try and give him space sometimes, but you also want to lift him up. Sean Livingston said, it's challenging because you never know what he's going through. A guy like that is so visible. I thought here's the best and maybe most interesting quote. The general manager of the Golden State Warriors is also a former player, right? He's a former player. And kind of interesting on how he says, look, he is... KD is who he is. That's who he is. He's exactly who he purports him to be. When he's down, he says, I'm kind of down. When he's up, he says, I'm feeling good. I don't know. My takeaway from this thing is, my takeaway is pretty simple. Like, I think that, here it is. This is Bob Myers. Says that, yeah, he's, you know, he called Pat Riley. I needed some advice. You cannot move them in a direction. You have to be who they are. But he said, Bob Myers said that Kevin Durant is exactly who he purports himself to be. He's a human being. And he lets you know when he's feeling good. He lets you know when he's feeling bad. And sometimes he keeps stuff in and sometimes he doesn't. So I don't know if you'll read this article and you'll like Kevin Durant. But I do think that you know Kevin Durant, which is so different from so many other star athletes in this space, where you feel like you know him, you want to know him. They want to write a book. They want to be in a movie. They want to purport themselves to have this sterling image. Whereas Kevin Durant, sometimes his image does change. He had the burner accounts where he's arguing with people about basketball. You know, he has the moments of awkwardness, the moments where he doesn't know where to go and how to fit in. He has this moment to where he knows he's not like Steph. He's not like Clay, but he is kind of just a different sort of weapon. And while we want to act like we haven't seen this before, we have. We've had other athletes who have. I mean, that's what Brett Favre was, right? Like, Brett Favre is now coming out and talking about his layers of and levels of addiction he had to prescription pain medication and to booze. But I think that one of the things that Brett Favre did a great job of was trying to be who he, trying to always be who he was. Trying to always not to paint a picture. And I find Lee Jenkins' article to be fascinating. My takeaway is I like Kevin Durant, but I don't like him because I like him. I like him because even the things I don't like, it's at least who he is. Does that make, am I making any sense? Ramos, am I making sense when I'm saying that?
Yes. Perfect sense about Kevin Durant.
It's honestly, it's kind of relationship 101. Like music, like you're not yet engaged, but you guys have been together long enough to where you kind of, like, you know, there's some women who will never go to the bathroom with the door open around their husband to be, or they won't like break wind. Like, look, you like, we're going to live together. I got to see you without makeup. You know, I got to see you on your bad day. You can't always, I mean, that's the big thing when you get married is that though you can separate yourself by rooms, you know, she can go upstairs and you can be downstairs. She can go in the bedroom and slam the door. She can go for a drive. At the end of the day, you're going to sleep in the same bed. You got to find a way to work it out. You know, you can't go to, it's not like when you're dating, when you can go to your house, she go to your house, and you can shut off your phone and not talk to him for a week and then just kind of let things simmer off. Like, it's not really the way it works. So the best way to make it work is to just be real, is to just be honest, is to just say like, hey, I'm in a bad mood. Why are you in a bad mood? I don't know. We're just in a weird space. You know, I didn't get what I wanted at work today, the traffic, the car, I don't know. I'm 29, I'm 42, I'm 66, I'm just not where I want to be in life, and I'm having a bad day. And you know what? If you're just honest and open, people will be like, yeah, I don't really like how you are right now, but I get how you are right now. And that's what I think that Durant is cornering the market on. Like, I love the image of Steph Curry. I will tell you this about Steph. Everyone I know who's ever been around him is like, he's actually a really good guy. He's actually who he purports to be. But I don't know. I don't know. You know, like J.J. Watt seems to be a superhero come to life. He raised like $30 million for hurricane survivors. Then he's got the pays for the funeral of that tragedy outside of Houston, the Santa Fe High School. You know, when Hard Knocks goes down there, he's like, way off in the side field doing spin moves into the dark. I'd like to think that that's who J.J. Watt is, but there's just everyone has a bad day. And when I don't see any sort of bad day, any sort of realness, I'm like, that's just image. That's not real. You don't feel like you know J.J. Watt. You feel like you know the character that is J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, American superhero, right? I don't feel like I knew Tiger Woods. Right? And now you're like, oh, now I do know Tiger Woods. I kind of like him better now. No, and don't take this the he's the hound, Perkins, waitress, whatever. Just the, and not even the fact that he got knocked down off his pedestal. Just the idea that I've read enough and understood enough all the different things, how his dad was, dad being buried in an unmarked grave, and how his mom, that's like his mom's ultimate revenge, and how he kind of wanted to play soldier. And like, he just, there was childhood interrupted there. There's arrested development is what they call it, right? It was arrested development with Tiger because he was just built to be a golfer. And the second he got the taste of the good life, the real life, like, he just couldn't control himself. Like, there's just there became a realness to it, but it was because of the downfall more than anything else. So I don't root for people's downfall. I root for, just tell me the truth.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Last year this time, I think they had their camps, had their early camps in San Diego. It was really, really super, super awkward. I'm like, hey, we're getting out of town. We're going to have one last camp here before they packed up stuff. Now, they are securely in Costa Mesa, second year in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of hope on the horizon for the L.A. Chargers. And, of course, I have a star running back, Melvin Gordon, who joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Melvin, how are you?
Good.
Any injuries from last year that you want to disclose after the fact, like LeBron did after the NBA Finals?
Nah, man. I'm cooling, man.
How different is it this year from last year?
I feel like we just, you know, I feel like, you know, it's a lot of the guys back. I feel like, you know, it's not too much teaching right now. I feel like it's really just crafting. We flying through plays. So it's just really about, you know, I feel working on our craft. I feel like the first couple of years, everybody was getting adjusted, the coaches, this and that. You know, everything was a lot slower, but coach has been here. They know the playbook. Everybody know the playbook, so we flying through things, man.
What about the loss of Hunter? I mean, this was, yeah. You know, Antonio gets cut. Gets released, and it becomes kind of his team. It was kind of always his team, his position last year. What did that do to everybody's kind of morale when he went down?
You know, obviously when you lose a, you know, great player like Hunter, man, that, you know, it kind of kills your mojo a little bit. But you know, if you were to talk to Hunter and he would tell you, you know, if you know, I want you guys to still win the Super Bowl. You know, do you want your guys to still win the Super Bowl? He'd tell you yes. You know, he wouldn't tell us to lay down just because he got hurt. He would tell us to work harder. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. You know, guys in that position are going to step up, and they have to step up. You know, and we need them to step up, you know, to make us play. Hunter is a big loss. Yeah, he's a big loss for us. But, you know, guys, it's been Hall of Famers that have opportunities because of, you know, things like that. So, yeah, we're going to see who's going to come to play.
Yeah, no, there's no question. For you personally, though, does it change how hard you go? Like, is there a way to protect yourself against something like that?
You know, it's just football, man. There's nothing really you can do as far as injury, if that's what you're saying. But as far as Hunter going down, if that's what you're saying.
No, I mean, for you, some of this stuff is like, look, I just don't want to be out there. But you need to be out there to get the reps.
Yeah.
Like, how can you? Does that cross your mind when you're making a move, making a cut? Like, I don't need to make a move here just because I don't want to run potential getting hurt.
Man, you know what? You try not to think about it because at the end of the day, you know, that's just the beast of the game. I mean, it's, you know, it sucks to say, but that's just the reality of it. If you've seen the play that Hunter ran, it's probably something he did numerous of times, but you know. It just gave out. You know, you never know, you know, when that play is. So you take it a day at a time, but you can't go out there and think, oh, well, I won't make this cut because, you know, I think this is going to happen. That's just not realistic because when you're in a game and you locked in and you got that ball in your hand and you're doing what you're doing, you're just doing what you do best, you know? So it's hard to say that.
There was a perception of you, Melvin Gordon joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, a perception of you coming out that the thing you need to improve most coming into the league was your ability to catch the football. 37 targets, 33 catches your first year. 55 targets, 41 catches your second year. 75 targets, 58 catches last year. I know you're putting in a ton of extra work. Now, what's that been like to kind of evolve as a dual threat? And obviously, I know pass protection, pass pro is that kind of the triple threat. But what's it been like for you to evolve as this type of weapon out of the backfield?
Well, it's good. I mean, I wouldn't say evolve. I always knew how to catch. It's just, you know, we didn't have to at Wisconsin. So the stigma was just, oh, they only know how to run the ball. They can't really catch like that. But I've been, you know, in practice, what people don't see is me lining up outside, catching slants, catching wheels, catching. I did everything I do now at Wisconsin. It's just on game day, we just ran the ball so effectively, they didn't really need to use me in the backfield like that. Hell, we really didn't pass the ball like that, to be honest, on some days. So, you know, it was what it was, but that just kind of went with Wisconsin running backs. That just kind of went with that. So it's good to have guys around me to help work on that craft because obviously I have to continue to get better at it every day. I got guys like Keenan. I had guys like Gates to kind of coach me on little things here and there. But I knew with Phil I had an opportunity to show people that I could be all around back. I've shown that.
You mentioned Keenan. You know, it's interesting. So many people who cover football talk about the best wide receivers, and his name doesn't get mentioned. And then you look at the numbers, and anybody watches tape, you're like, wow, Keenan Allen's just as good as anybody. As a guy who's learning to be a proficient route runner, what is it you see every day that we don't get a chance to see and that not enough people understand nationally about him?
Just him being untouchable off the line. I mean, you could just rarely get a hand on him. You know, you barely see it. You know, you barely see somebody getting a hand on him. He's just so nasty at the line. It's what he do. His whole focus on everything he do is route running. That's what he do as a receiver. He'll tell you he was born to do it. And when you see it, you believe it. I mean, the only reason he don't get talked about is because he had a couple injuries that kind of hurt him. That kind of hurt him here and there.
Yep.
But, you know, if you put on film, like you said, man, you can't mess with him. He's one of the top wide receivers. I've been saying it.
This part always gets missed. And, yeah, no, look, me knowing enough about the Chargers, you basically have two redshirt rookies, right? Like, Lamp went down last year, never got a chance to play. Mike Williams wasn't ready till late in the season. He barely played. So whereas other teams are worrying about their draft picks, you had two guys who could kind of learn the system. How valuable is that for you, for your team, you know, heading through this offseason? Have two guys that have been around, but they almost redshirted last year, and now they get a chance to show what they got.
You know, it's good, man, because you know, those are two guys that can help us. You know, Mike, you know, you just see him out there. He'd do some things that you know he could be special. And Lamp, you know, when he was out here, you know, we seen what he could do. And he could definitely help me as a runner. And, you know, I'm a guy that want him back bad, you know. And you know, that's just what it is. I'm not scared to say it. It's a guy that I really want because I know, you know, what he can do. And I know how he can help us as a team. And I know how he can help, you know, open up those lanes for me. So, you know, it'd be good to get both of those guys back because obviously both of those guys play on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, especially with Hunter going down, we need all the help we can get.
Well, listen, man, look, always a great catching up with you. You picked up any SoCal habits? Like, are you surfing yet? Are you mountain biking yet? Are you doing any? There's so many things you can do in Orange County. You know, are you an avocado toast guy, the true millennial now?
When I was in Dayton a little bit, I got me a skateboard, mate. I was doing that a little bit, but people was getting a little scared.
Yeah, so no, listen. I live close, and I was over. There's a Volcom skate park, and my son is 9. He goes over there. He throws in the pads and he tears it up. I hopped on once, nearly killed myself. I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. It ain't risk versus reward. The skateboard thing, I'm not sure I would do.
Yeah, I got to leave it alone. My agent was freaking out. Everybody's freaking out. I was like, yeah, let me just get off this for a little bit.
I tend to agree. Good catching up. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Melvin Gordon, L.A. Chargers, joining us. Doug Gottlieb Show. Don't be surprised when you see futures come out and they're one of the favorites to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
There's a rap battle brewing between Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma. Apparently, Zoe has a new rap song that's dropped. That's a diss track, right? Isn't there a diss track between the two? Now, Colin Cowherd came on before me and said, "Look, I think this is the type of reasons that LeBron won't go to L.A." I was on that show as well, though. And I said, do I think that this is tiresome, tedious a little bit? That the LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball, the need for attention is a negative? Sure. Like, I'm reasonable about it. But I honestly don't think that this type of stuff keeps LeBron James from coming to L.A. I don't. Now, LeVar's painting it as, didn't he go on to Cowherd and say that Kuzma, that Kuz and Zoe, they have real beef, that they're not that close? I don't know. Look, there's always a tinge of truth, even in sarcasm, right? tinge of truth even in sarcasm. And I think even if this is a tongue-in-cheek diss track where Kuzma and Zoe, from what I've been told, they're actually really close. They actually talk trash about each other on Twitter and post videos of each other on Twitter. So part of it is I just can't believe a word that LeVar says. If LeVar told me that it was sunny outside, even if I looked outside and saw that it was sunny outside, I would think there's a chance that it's raining. I just don't. Like, here's a guy who's such a shameless self-promoter that if he can create some fictitious beef between two teammates who are just rookies in the NBA, he'll do it. Do I think there's a little bit of jealousy from Lonzo about the love that Kuzma gets? Absolutely. There's always a tinge of truth, even in sarcasm. A tinge. Do I think, though, that the beef is real? I do not. This is tofu. This is one of those, you ever had one of those beefless hamburgers? Tofurkey. There's also black bean stuff, black bean burgers. That's what this is. This is fake beef. Fake beef. Now, if you wanted to, if I wanted to say, hey, look, this is what the NBA is about, right? Or this is part of the thing you're going to have to deal with in LA. I do think it's something you have to deal with in LA. But I don't think it's that you have to deal with Lonzo and diss tracks and LeVar Ball making outlandish statements. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I do think that if you're going to come to Los Angeles, just know that everyone wants to be the not everyone. Lots of people want to be the Kardashians. What exactly do the Kardashians do? What exactly is their qualifications? Right? They're good-looking people from a well-to-do family that have created an absolute empire out of just kind of hanging out and being themselves and shopping and spending money. And out of that, they've made businesses upon businesses and personalities upon personalities. Sadly, or maybe happily, they are the 2018 American dream, where you can hang out and do nothing and get paid to do nothing. Like, what do? Like, oh, we go to the store and then we come home and we have drinks and then we talk about each other. That's a TV show. Like, really? Really? We go to Disneyland and that's a TV show. We go shopping and that's a TV show. So I think in some ways that's the new American dream. And that's all up. And that's the LA dream. So the word to the wise to LeBron is, hey, I don't think it's a big, there's no beef. I don't think there's beef between Kuz and Lonzo. And if LeBron says, hey, I'm coming here, you got to get rid of Lonzo. Lonzo will be on the next flight out. I do think, though, that if you're going to come to LA, you got to understand that there are 100,000 people trying to get a reality show.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Here is Andrew Luck earlier today after throwing a football, not the Duke. He threw, a high school-sized football for the first time today.
Yeah, so it's a lighter football. It's sort of a bridge. I've thrown a real football, the Duke, whatever you want to call it. I've picked it up and I've thrown it, and it felt great. And it, honestly, there was a little mental block to doing it, and I had to do it. I had pain last year, right? Pain, and that I wasn't being honest to myself about. And that's a long, and I was trying to get through pain per se. There's none of that right now.
All right, so are we all in on Andrew Luck being back? He says no pain at all. No pain, no pain, no pain. No pain, no pain. Like Rocky when he was training with Apollo. No pain, no pain. Think about this. Have we ever had the discussion about pick a baseball player swinging a baseball bat after injury? Or a pitcher even coming back going like 2 years without throwing a baseball? We haven't had that discussion. I think this the closest thing to this is Tiger Woods not swinging a golf club. Remember, he had back surgery, and he couldn't swing a golf club for like 6 months. So, like, that part is fascinating to me that here we're talking, we have no idea how he'll look on a football field, but we're making, and we, I guess we should make a big deal that Andrew Luck is actually throwing a football. Can you believe it? He's throwing a football? This is breaking, rightfully. Isaac Lowenkron has it as a lead story, one of the lead stories. It's a big thing. The at the time he signed his deal, highest paid quarterback in the NFL has finally thrown a football in public, albeit not an NFL football. So I think it's a good day. Here's Frank Reich after practice discussing Luck.
This was mimicked exactly what we did last week. We didn't change anything except for the fact that he came out here. Tomorrow will be a little bit more throwing than he did today. I can just tell you he's looked really good in the session. There's been enough sessions that I've seen, you know, with whatever kind of ball it is, it's looked good.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Broussard joins us. He knows a lot about hoop. Chris, is, I mean, Hennessy, is that black guy scotch? Like, what is the Hen is, like, all of a sudden Jordan Bell's running around looking for Hennessy. Of course, J.R. Smith, people made Hennessy jokes with J.R. because he likes Hennessy. Give me the scouting report on Hennessy.
Ever had Hennessy in my life. I'm a little drink. I drink a little bit socially, but I don't drink much. But Hennessy.
Hold on. We're having trouble hearing you. Pick up with him if you would, so he makes sure we get it just right. I don't know if that's his. Is he an earpiece in? Was he working out? Sound like he was outside? A little beautiful breeze? Not sure. We got to get this scan report on Hennessy. If somebody else like to give us a scan report. All right, go ahead, Chris. Try us again.
Yeah, you got me.
Much better.
Never had Hennessy in my life, believe it or not. I don't drink much. I drink a little bit socially, but I'm not the guy to ask about Hennessy.
You can't tell me anything about it?
Never had it. I mean, if it's become a popular drink with blacks, I mean, I know it's mentioned in a lot of hip-hop songs, so yeah. I guess hip-hop has made it a black drink. Is that?
I don't know. I just want to be, like, it's. I think it's an okay discussion to have. Like, am I missing something?
No, it is.
Right?
I just don't, yeah, I don't drink. I've never drank Hennessy in my life. I'm curious now to go to have a swig, though.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Shannon Sharp, I mean, he's like a one-man.
He's always publicized. You know, like I said, it's mentioned in a lot of hip-hop songs and videos. You see it being thrown around, but I guess that made it, you know, a big drink among blacks,
I don't know.
I don't really drink enough to know about it, because like I said, I drink very little.
We drink very little. What is your drink of choice? You have one, the like Chris.
You know what I love getting? I just love drinking sangria.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
When I go somewhere, if they have it, I get a little sangria. I do like Bailey's Irish Cream, though.
Yeah, well,
I do like that.
Yeah, you get Bailey's in coffee afterwards, a little Irish coffee if you'd like, or you can get it on.
Yeah,
I've never had
it in coffee, but I usually get it, you know, when I get it on flight. When you fly, you know, when you get that hookup, and they, you know,
you're talking first class. Big chair is another way of big chair, another way of saying it.
That's when I drink it because it's free, so. But yeah, I like those too.
I love it. The admittance, I'm like you. I never order booze on a plane. But if it's free, I will drink booze on a plane. Chris Broussard joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to KD. He allows Lee Jenkins in, and he basically is like, look, I'm just a basketball guy. I'm not a superstar guy. I'm just real with my emotions. Sometimes I get nervous. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down. What was your takeaway from Lee Jenkins sit down with KD?
Well, KD's been very, you know, transparent over the last, really, probably since he's gone to Golden State. Because, you know, OKC, he and Westbrook weren't known to be good with the media. I don't know if it was that something they just had with the local media there. But, you know, KD has done so many of these sit downs. You know, Bill Simmons, obviously, on his podcast, and, you know, ESPN, and now Lee Jenkins. I thought it was refreshing because, you know, he was transparent. Anytime you see a pro athlete, especially a superstar who's really transparent, I think it's good. So, I thought he let you see kind of the human side, things you might agree, disagree with. But I thought it was good. I like KD being open. He's an interesting guy, very interesting.
I agree. Draymond Green comes out through Chris Haynes at ESPN and says, hey, look, I took a pay cut last time. Whether or not he could have gotten the full $94 million or not, I would dispute that. But he got $82 million over 5 years. I'm not taking pay cuts this time. If I'm Golden State, I look at Cleveland and I see them overpaying really important role players, and no, that's one of the things that has hurt their ability to have a, you know, more talent. I'm very cautious of giving Draymond Green max money, no matter how valuable he is. He's replaceable more so than others. What's your thoughts on Draymond making now the point of, hey, I need to be paid at the level of the superstars?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Number one, I don't know that he could have got more than $82 million, you know, last time. And this time, you know, Draymond, as great as he is, especially in Golden State, he's viewed as a guy that if he went somewhere else and had to be like the man or maybe even the second guy, he wouldn't be able to do it. Now, maybe that's not true. I mean, I tend to share that view as well. People don't, you know, he's not going to be a big scorer, I don't think. So I don't know that his value on the market would be as high as he thinks. He would get big money, but would he get, you know, a huge max deal? I'm not so sure about that. Now, I do think he's different than, you know, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, you know, the guys in Cleveland. And Golden State is different. I mean, if they keep their heads straight, then this thing could go on for a few more years. But you already see, you know, everybody's now talking about money. You saw Tim Kawakami had a great column where he brought up the possibility of, you know, would they eventually have to put together a package of Draymond Green and Klay Thompson to get Anthony Davis? How interesting would that be? So I think if you're Golden State, I want to bring it back one more year for sure, and then kind of see how things are playing out. One, do we win it next year? Are guys as motivated? Do we play as well? But some changes to the core might be necessary going forward. And the two I definitely don't want to mess with, even though all of them all of them are very valuable, all four of them. But Durant and Steph, to me, are the two that I'd want to keep above all else.
I tend to agree with you. Klay being third and then kind of on down the line. Chris Broussard joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. I believe they're friends, that this is fake beef, not real beef. What are you hearing about Lonzo Ball beefing with Kyle Kuzma on a new rap song that's dropped?
Yeah, I think this is totally just friends fooling around. I had Kyle Kuzma on my podcast, I don't know, a month or so ago. And he said they're great friends. They're boys. You know, that's his closest friend on the Lakers. So I'm with you. I was surprised. I thought Lonzo's line about, I don't know if you listened to it, he said, you don't know your dad or something to that effect. That was a little, that struck me. Like, man, that's kind of a low blow unless Kyle really just jokes about it, you know what I mean, with Lonzo or something like that. That's struck me, but other than that, I thought, you know, as far as I know, they're good friends. Now, LeVar Ball was up at Fox today, and he said on the Herd, Colin Cowherd show, that they're not that close. But I honestly feel like it's just a situation where LeVar doesn't really know, you know, how close they are. That's my opinion, because I really believe that they're very close. And if they weren't close, and this was serious, I got to believe, as much as Lonzo obviously likes to put out rap songs, I don't think he'd do that. I mean, that would be ridiculous to do, to put out a serious diss track against a teammate. That'd be crazy.
It would be crazy. I think that it's either LeVar doesn't know or LeVar thinks it's going to help sell albums. You know, I can't. You might. I think the only issue the Lakers would probably have is, it's like you said, there's one line in there about his dad, not knowing his dad, and all it takes is one line to be taken the wrong way, and now all of a sudden, it's just like playing slug bug with a buddy, right? Like, Yeah, all right, you play slug bug. Now you hit a guy too hard, now all of a sudden a fight breaks out.
Yep, exactly. We'll see. Isn't Kuzma supposed to come back, what, tomorrow or something with something?
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess we'll find out there. He told me they were great friends. That was the closest friend on the team. Now, he's gone back on Instagram back and forth with LaMelo, the younger brother, and it's gotten a little where you look at some of it and you're like, are they serious or are they friends? And he told me it's all in fun and they're friendly. So he seems to be friendly with, all three of the sons, or at least those two. So I hope it's in fun because, as I said, if it's serious, that's not a good look at all.
It's the voice of Chris Broussard from Fox Sports. Of course, you can also hear him on Fox Sports Radio on the weekends alongside Rob Parker, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time every Sunday. Okay, so where are we with the LeBron stuff?
I don't think the Lakers is necessarily the best basketball situation. I think the best basketball situation would be, I think, Boston, actually, assuming they would trade Kyrie. And then I think Philadelphia. I think those two are good. You stay in the East. But the Lakers seem to offer the best combination a family slash lifestyle and basketball, winning. He said he wants to stay in championship mode. If he goes there with Paul George and or Chris Paul, obviously you're going to be a contender. Whether or not you can beat the Warriors remains to be seen, but you'd be a contender. And then for family, now his oldest son is going to be going into eighth grade, so high school is right on the horizon. So, he's got to think about that. But I do feel like things are pointing toward the Lakers. I don't know that for sure. But if I had to pick one right now, it probably would be the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, any chance he stays?
There's so many factors working against it. One, the team obviously isn't that great. I think if they came back pretty much as is, with whoever they pick ace, they wouldn't be viewed as a favorite in the East, and I don't think they'd get out of the East. And then you got the relationship with Dan Gilbert, which is strained, to say the least. I think there's a very, very slim chance that he stays in Cleveland.
Why was he wearing that brace? I mean,
yeah, he clearly was injured. I mean, you saw the photos that ESPN put out of his hand. But I don't think it was good optics to wear the brace. It just didn't. It opened him up to legitimate criticism about, are you trying to make an excuse? And the thing is, there's no need to make an excuse. I mean, anybody that really, knew the basketball, I mean, I don't want to insult those who thought it'd be a good series or that Cleveland would win, but, they're overmatched. Period. And to get swept, yeah, they did have chances to win again, 1-3. There's no doubt about that. But to be swept by that team with what the roster Cleveland had, no shame in that. All the superstars were swept in the playoffs at one point or the other. And he played tremendously. I mean, his numbers, even though he wasn't as good in the last three games as game one, his numbers for the series were ridiculous. So I just look. I don't fault him. I don't know who leaked the story. I know Dave McMenamin from ESPN said it wasn't LeBron's camp that leaked it. So it could have just gotten out. But I just thought it was bad optics to wear that brace. You could have just put it on your way home or something like that.
No, there's no leaking of the story. He had a brace in his hand, and then he said he pretty much played with it. Like he leaked the story.
Well, it was out before he went to the press conference.
But the easy win for him, easy win is, hey, I don't offer up any excuses.
I could play.
If he just does that, and then his staff, his guys leak the story, like, he actually played with a broken hand. That's the stuff of legend.
Yeah.
Instead, it's the opposite. It's like, what is he doing? We all thought he played fine. Good. And we played great early on. And then, they kind of shut it down in game four when it was over. All right, fine. He wasn't going to win. All right.
Yeah, nobody's killing him for that. I mean, you're right. Like, if he's at that podium and he's got no brace on and they say, LeBron, there's reports that you know, you hit a whiteboard and you broke your hand. He could even just say, look, yeah, I was frustrated after the game. You know, I did something stupid, but, you know, no excuses. I played. I was fine. And you're right. Then the story comes out, and he becomes more heroic, actually.
Yes.
I think he misread that one, and it just wasn't – the optics weren't good.
No question. Optics are good Sunday evenings. You're driving around. I encourage you. I implore you. If you don't listen to his podcast, you do listen to the podcast. It doesn't matter. Great stuff with Rob Parker. Sunday, 6 to 9 Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. Check him out on all of our TV shows. As well, and we'll see if he gets a sip of Henny sometime this weekend for Father's Day.
I'm curious. I ain't gonna lie. Now I'm curious.
Me, you and me both. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, man. Later.